What y'all listening to?
Limelight Highlight Podcast.
Welcome back to the show, your positive podcast, safe space and great place for a positive outlook on life. This podcast is brought to you by the nonprofit organization The Block Gives Back, and man oh man, do we have a busy month ahead of us. At the end of the month, The Block Gives Back will be doing their Block to School Drive in front of The Block Shop on August 22nd, where they'll be giving out 1,000 book bags filled with school supplies, along with other great services given out that day. So be sure to pull up and help out or just be a part of the fun. Check out theblockgivesback.org for more details. They're still giving out food and groceries every week, and this past week has not changed. So on top of the much anticipated Block to School Drive, Tommy, who happens to be the president of The Block Gives Back, has been playing matchmaker with me and a few potential podcast guests. So my trip back to Philly later on this month will be jam-packed, and I have a growing list of guests confirmed for the episodes to be in the future. So be sure to keep an eye out for that one and all of the exciting stuff to come soon. Now, last couple episodes, I've been with guests, and you haven't really gotten a good old-fashioned podcast episode where I report on good news. So ideally, I would love for every episode to be featuring and highlighting a guest who's doing something good or making a positive impact on their surroundings, but that's in due time. Everything grows at its own rate, so not to worry, though. This week, we'll be back to our regular scheduled program, and as with every episode, let's begin with this week's unrelated fun fact. This week's unrelated fun fact is about an old saying that we know all too well. I mean, you've said it, I've said it, and if not, you'd at least heard it. And the saying I'm talking about is shotgun. You know, when you're younger, or even to this day, you and your friends, cousins, siblings are about to get in the car, and as a passenger, not the driver, of course, and the unwritten rule is for those who get to sit in the front is whoever calls out shotgun first. Or you're a savage and you didn't really respect the unwritten laws by sitting up front. You just race there first and bully your way into the front seat. But all those people are probably criminals right now. So regardless, it's pretty interesting where this saying came from. The term shotgun when riding in a car comes from the term shotgun messenger. Now, back in the old West, the shotgun messenger was a guard who sat in the front next to the stagecoach driver, basically the passenger seat. And the guard would use a shotgun to keep robbers and criminals away. And with Hollywood being obsessed with its old Western flicks back in the day, they kept this name alive and it evolved and made its way into our society. So I just thought it was funny how something so simple has stayed relevant for so long, even to this day. But now, whenever you yell out shotgun, you know why. And yeah, just wanted to share that funny little truth with you. Now let's get on with the show. Due to the coronavirus ravaging the food market, farmers are having to destroy their own crops. Many of the crops have not found its way to hungry Americans in time, and it could be due to a multiple amount of reasons, but some farmers are blaming the USDA. Farmers are pouring thousands and thousands of gallons of milk down the drain, crushing ripe fruit and vegetables, and a lot of it's being plowed back into the ground, known as remulching. And this is just a way to prevent more crops from rotting in the field and attracting pests like other animals and rodents and nasty insects. Our first story is actually coming out of Washington State. George Ahern heard that farmers were giving away onions and potatoes that they were unable to sell in Washington State. And with so many crops being destroyed or left to rot, the farmers preferred to see the crops go back to food banks in Seattle, which is really good. And being inspired by the farmers' kindness, George took to Facebook and asked to borrow somebody's truck or trailer just for the day so he can go around collecting some crops and haul over 2,000 pounds of restaurant-grade onions and potatoes. Because you wouldn't believe how many people need onions and potatoes. And because this world isn't that terrible, despite what you see on TV and you hear on TV, his request was met with 4 trucks and 2 trailers, which then hauled 9.3 tons of crops grown in the East to feed hungry people in the West. This voluntary act of kindness grew into a nonprofit organization called East-West Food Rescue. It has saved over 2.4 million pounds of food from fields while also collecting enough donations to help compensate farmers for their loss. This whole thing started because of COVID, and when the pandemic hit, these farmers immediately lost all the restaurant contracts that they had for quality potatoes and onions. So the first run that George put together, he had relied on several people from Washington who had trucks, and he also worked with another nonprofit organization who happened to donate crates and boxes that they then used to transport crops, because apparently food banks can't accept semi-trucks, like a semi-truck loaded of loose potatoes or onions or anything loose. They have to be in containers. So good thing he worked with another nonprofit. George did a lot of what's called trial and error when he started. He was kind of just figuring it out as he went. So the goal of his new nonprofit was to rescue 10 million pounds of food, which George is currently trying to raise $250,000 for. A huge concern and the organization's number one priority is to get refrigeration capacity for fruit and other produce, as well as for milk and eggs. So that's where all that money's going to go to. And after reaching their first, the organization that he put together, after reaching their first 70 tons of food, the plan was to shut down so he could spend more time with his family. But as time went by, he just kind of accepted the fact that as of right now, he just can't stop. There's too many people that are relying on him and everything that he's doing that he's just got to keep going. The longer we're remaining in this lockdown, the more I'm realizing that people are sick and tired of waiting for the government to take action and take care of the citizens of this nation, because, I mean, I don't have all the answers. I don't claim to have all the answers to the problems that we have, but doing more and more of these stories just shows how, as a nation collectively, we need to rely more on each other and help each other with other things, especially through these difficult times. I hear a lot of, why isn't the government doing this, or why hasn't there been any implementation of law or bills or anything like that? And people are getting tired of waiting around. We got to stop relying on the government so much as we give them the damn taxes and stuff. You know, we're led to believe for so long that we need to be consistent or just in constant competition with each other, as if, you know, there's a limited amount of resources available to us. But you can see that there's an abundance, and we can all have a piece of that abundance. Government takes our tax dollars. They do everything but what we actually want, which is security. I mean, if anything shows that, it's this pandemic. This past week, Tommy from the Block is Back shared a post on Facebook from Bloomberg.com, which was titled, "Almost 30 million in U.S. didn't have enough to eat last week." I mean, prior episodes, we covered how serious a problem food insecurity is, especially in the country where abundance has been a staple to something that we pride ourselves on. So it's people like George Ahern and organizations like the Block is Back that should and absolutely need to be highlighted. It's no secret that we can't count on our government to take care of us. So we need to come together and spread the word about amazing people and organizations that are truly taking matters into their own hands and helping the citizens of this country. George and his organization has rescued 2.4 million pounds of farmers' crops that would have otherwise gone to waste and got that food to food banks across the entire state of Washington. So another little fact is the Block Gives Back has served over 2,000 meals to-go meals, along with countless amounts of groceries and other goods to families in Philadelphia. So these are the people that really need our attention and our help, so we can get a chain reaction to go out and help others. Remember, it only takes one person to set off a chain reaction to start making a difference. And it's up to us to come together and make sure it stays consistent and continues to drive, because in the end, we're only helping ourselves by helping each other. And since we're on the topic of helping each other out along with food insecurity, let's make a trip over to our neighbors in the Big Apple, specifically a borough that doesn't have the reputation for being the nicest. Me being Puerto Rican and from Philly, there's likely a high chance that, well, actually, if you're Puerto Rican and you're from Philly, there's a highly likely chance that you have ties or family in New York, or at least know somebody. I mean, that's the case for me anyway. I have tons of cousins, both first and second cousins, as well as extended aunts and uncles from extended families that, you know, all that. So growing up, we'd go to New York almost every single weekend. My mom was born in New York, so we had a lot of family there. And for people who aren't familiar with the geography of the tri-state area, the tri-state area is Philly, Jersey, New York. New York is about 2 hours, give or take, from Philadelphia, so don't take much to get there. And so anyway, we would go there and visit family all the time. And whether if it was for a family event or holiday or maybe just to hang out, we'd always go there. So specifically, most of my extended family lived in Harlem, but my mom and I would always stay with our cousin who happened to live in the Bronx. Now, if you know anything about New York, you know, the only reason you'd go to the Bronx is if you have family there, some type of business being there. You don't just visit there because it's the Bronx. You know, it's not really the safest place, or they don't have a reputation for just welcoming anybody. It's not something most people do. So this story is actually about that specific borough, and it's titled From Pizza to Fresh Vegetables. When you're in the Bronx, you're going to get fed and by this generous community. Naturally, the title caught my attention, and what I read kind of left me pleasantly surprised. So apparently in the Bronx, they are now one of the 50 finalists in Reader's Digest's 50 Nicest Places in America contest for 2020. Granted, I haven't been to New York since I was pretty young, so with everything in time, things change. The Bronx is home to 1.4 million people and is considered one of the most racially diverse places in the country. The area in the Bronx we're talking about specifically is Riverdale, which for some, they don't really consider it to be a part of the Bronx, but geographically speaking, it is. So details, I guess. As far as food goes, Chicago has their deep dish pizza. Philadelphia is famous for their cheese steaks, and rightfully so, because they're delicious. And of course, New York is famous for their pizza. And if there is one nationwide thing that brings people together, I would have to say it's pizza. In early March, Eliza Abrams Koenig pre-ordered 30 pizzas for a party to celebrate the Jewish holiday Purim at her synagogue. Then, of course, during March, COVID hit, and as with everyone's plans, they had to change. So the party was canceled, but Eliza picked up 30 pizzas from Cappuccino Bakery anyway, and with her and seven other volunteers, they delivered them to quarantine members of her synagogue. Now, just like our last story, another organization was born due to this virus, and this organization has been named the Pizza Brigade. Volunteers kept up the pizza deliveries at no charge to the families 1 week until their quarantine was over. In total, they fed more than 100 families, and not just pizza, mind you. The Pizza Brigade partnered with a bakery owner and started weekly deliveries to Chala, which is of Chala. I guess that's the bread that Jews usually eat every week on the Sabbath, but I don't really know much about the Jewish community, but that's what the article said. And the Pizza Brigade started to expand their operations, and in a single day, they delivered 20 pizzas to healthcare professionals battling COVID in the emergency room and Montefiore Medical Center. Then they delivered 25 pizzas to Hatsala, which is a local volunteer ambulance corps. And the next day, they delivered 10 pizzas to Weill Cornell Hospital. Every order that came in helped keep the restaurant in business and the bakery staff employed. So like many other great ideas, this one also took off, and other Jewish communities started sending pizzas to those around them who needed some support. It even crossed state lines to Connecticut, where 40 pizzas were sent to families on the front lines. So pretty big outreach. In a different part of Riverdale, Selma, Raven, and her partner Sarah Allen noticed that their neighbors needed help. And it just happened to fall on the 7th anniversary of the day Selma lost her son, Michael, who had been an activist fighting against healthy food deserts. And food deserts are communities, particularly low-income areas, which residents don't live in close proximity to affordable and healthy food retailers. And healthy food options in these communities are harder, getting more and harder to find more affordable good food. You know, so just wanted to add a bit of that information there because I didn't really know what a food desert was. I've heard about them, but I wasn't really sure. So now you know. Following the Pizza Brigade, they noticed that the Pizza Brigade were delivering pizzas in Brooklyn, and Sarah found a refrigerator on Craigslist, and she had the idea. Her and Selma started asking nearby store owners if they could plug in the fridge in front of the store. And the idea was to fill it with free, fresh food for anyone who needed it. And, you know, being in New York, people are like, nah, you ain't gonna do that here. But the last person, I think it was like the fourth bodega owner or something like that, who said yes. So similar to the food pantry episode we covered previously, that's what this fridge was going to act like. Riverdale has a dense urban feel with a mix of those living in million-dollar homes and other renting a single room. So all types of people live there. And a few days later, Selma and Sarah had set up what they called their friendly fridge in front of a restaurant down the street from their apartment called The Last Stop. So the system to use the fridge was pretty simple. You know, take what you need, leave what you can. And Sarah and Selma, they bought food almost every day to supplement donations. And a local fruit vendor would drop off fruit. Some of the deli owners on the block would donate sandwiches. So every day, someone donates something new. Within a month, it grew a lot. And at the end of every day, they sanitized the fridge and they refilled it and restocked it. And they were finding out why Riverdale was nominated as one of the 50th nicest places in America on that 2020 finalists anyway. And the Bronx community has been said to have a highly committed to doing volunteer work, giving to charity and helping those in need. And they are really seeing an uptick in volunteerism and care during these crucial times. This is another perfect example of showing that we as a people can come together and take care of each other. When they were interviewing Selma, she was quoted saying, "It's been incredible to see my community has rallied together and are helping each other out, running errands, pickups, drop-offs for those who cannot risk going out. I'm a member of a few WhatsApp groups dedicated to fulfilling shopping list requests for those in quarantine. The groups never stop. There's always someone offering to help out. It's really amazing," end quote. So recently the fridge stopped working and Sarah wrote about it on Facebook, another perfect example of community. And literally within 2 hours, a stranger had hand delivered a replacement, and Selma had actually offered to give him $300 that she had received in donations for the fridge, but the person refused to take the cash. So true act of selflessness. Now, this particular article has everything and more someone would want in a feel-good story, in my opinion. You know, you got a community coming together off a simple idea of a pizza deliveries. They got something going on, something created in honor of a lost loved one in their name. And people plain and simple just looking out for one another. Common unity. I know I keep using that phrase, but that's what's going on in places like this and a ton of others as well. We just need to highlight it because, as you can tell, one small idea can catch like a wildfire and evolve into something everyone can benefit from. Now, just to stay on topic with our last story, it's about a teacher who spent every day in lockdown preparing food for his pupils and delivered 7,500 packed lunches. I shared this particular story on Instagram back in April, but some more recent details have come out and I feel like it really needs to be highlighted, so... As we covered in our first food scarcity story, food scarcity is a huge problem. We also covered how important school has been previously for students who at home don't have the resources to feed them and how important school is for feeding them alone. This award-winning teacher in England spent every day preparing food for his students and has made his final delivery after delivering 7,500 packed school lunches. His name is Zane Powells, and he prepared 85 lunches every morning after fearing his students would struggle to access food when schools were shut down during the pandemic because Zane is a smart person and knows about food insecurities. The teacher walked 7.5 miles every single day, making his rounds for 17 full weeks and totaled over 600 miles over the course of his runs in Northeast Lincolnshire in England, in the UK. If you do the math, this 48-year-old teacher carried around 4 tons of food total, during those 17 weeks. And as much work as that might sound, he says it was well worth it after seeing the smiles on the kids' faces. When schools where he packed the lunches closed for the summer on July 17th, he delivered his final food package that Friday afternoon. And Zane was concerned about his students' well-being and wanted to make sure he could see them and see how they were doing. He felt like he needed to know where safe, he felt like he needed to know that they were safe and had access to food, because along with food insecurities, there are a ton of other problems kids face at home. I could go down a list, but that's for another topic. When asked why he did it, he responded, "I'm just doing my job to, at the end of the day. My role is to help nurture and educate children and to take care of them." Zane would get to school at 7 a.m., start preparing and packaging the food before heading out on his two-hour walk. And he didn't take a single day off during the pandemic while taking on this huge task. So while delivering the lunches, he would sometimes leave the students with homework, which I'm sure they were less than happy about, because what kid wants to do homework? But hey, you're getting a free meal. The least you can do is take some homework off your teacher's hands, or, you know, do what your teacher says. He's feeding you. But not only was Zane doing this extremely exhausting task on his own, but he's also a father of three, which is mind-blowing that he's doing all this. And even though he's done delivering students meals, that doesn't mean that he's done helping this cause. He's actually raising funds for Meals and More, which provides support to children who live with poverty. If you want to donate to that amazing cause, you can check out the links in the show notes. I'll list them there as well. Not only is Zane an outgoing human being and an amazing teacher, but he also works as an assistant head teacher with challenging students in the school's behavioral unit. Because of his work, he won the Inspirational Primary School Teacher Award in 2019 after he was nominated by a parent, and rightfully so. When accepting the award, he said, quote, "We should never give up on children. Having a tough upbringing is never their fault," end quote. And truer words have never been spoken. I mean, too many times we end up hearing about how you shouldn't be a product of your environment, and too many times kids are the product of their environment due to being in a crappy situation or just living in an underserved community. Another thing we've spoken on time and time again, a plethora of things, you know. I used to think that one person couldn't really make a difference, and boy, have I never been so happy to be wrong about something. The more I do this podcast, the more I realize one person really can have such an impact on their community, and that impact can have such a strong ripple effect that it spreads out to making the world a better place overall. So if there's one thing I want you to take from this episode, it's that no matter how little an act of kindness you think it is, or how insignificant you might think it is, it really can make the biggest impact. Now, this show has been all about food. And, or at least this episode has been about food and single individuals creating a huge change on their surroundings. So our PPDPT segment shouldn't be any different. So this week's Limelight PPDPT goes out to We All We Got SD. Being in San Diego, I haven't really done my due diligence and taken the time out to check out all the great organizations around here. My networking skills haven't really been put to use as much as I should have. But I'd like to highlight some more of San Diego's organizations, because being in such a beautiful city, it makes sense to highlight some beautiful people and those especially making a positive change. So We All We Got SD is an all-volunteer grassroots group operating in Kumeyaay territories. The Kumeyaay are actually the natives to California before everybody else took it over and stuff. So the reason I'm highlighting them is for this week's PPDPT segment is because, similar to The Block Is Back, giving out free meals every Saturday, every Friday, unless otherwise noted, We All We Got SD will be doing a produce distribution at 3 p.m. up in City Heights. They're able to offer these donations to the City Heights area weekly, and no proof of income necessary. So just real short and sweet and simple. I just wanted to, you know, another great Duke group doing great things, helping out the people who need it in their community. And there's just so much to highlight that this is the least I can do. And hopefully something caught your attention in this episode to go seek it out and see how you can be part of the solution. So let's recap. Today's episode was all about food, food scarcity, food insecurity in certain areas, and the people doing their part to feed their communities as well as outside of their communities. It was about how one person can truly change the world, from seeing a problem like hundreds of pounds of food going to waste to coming up with solutions to get it to people who really need it. We cover communities that don't have a history of being the nicest to each other, but somehow ending up on the top 50 nicest placed in a very popular magazine. And this podcast has been full of surprises for me, and I hope it gave you a little hope for humanity and change your mood if it wasn't so good when this episode started. Every time I do this podcast, it really amazes me how much of an amazing news gets brushed over in the media. It almost pisses me off, but it also reminds me why I do the podcast. It's a constant reminder that something like this is needed, and as much as I'd love to be played in everyone's headset and on everyone's stereo or be on everyone's top podcast list, if I can impact someone in a positive way by just changing their mood because of the good news being shared, changing their outlook on life that it's not so daunting, I would truly be content and happy about that. I couldn't really ask for anything more than just helping out those people, and for other people to help share this with someone that they think could benefit. You know, we too many times we get into the slump of thinking about how terrible the world is, but if you focus on something positive, maybe it'll change your, you know, you are what you eat. Same thing with your brain. You are what you ingest. So that's it for today's episode. As always, I highly encourage you to check out the links in the show notes and give some feedback on what other topics you're interested in listening about. I hope you share this podcast and give it a rating and a review, and it would greatly help, I'm all dyslexic today, with that desire to help people out. And thanks to all those who tune in week after week. I appreciate y'all. Be sure to visit theblockisback.org to help donate for the meals that they constantly give out and the Black to School drive that they're having at the end of the month, August 22nd, in front of the Block Shop, 6831 Torresdale Ave in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. If there's any feedback you'd like to give, feel free to send me an email at limelighthighlight@gmail.com or any of our social media platforms on Facebook and Instagram at limelighthighlight. Our Twitter handle is LLHighlight. And since you'll already be in the show notes looking at all those wonderful links that I'm going to provide you, don't forget to leave a rating, review, subscribe, share, and follow the podcast, especially if you're wondering how to support the show. That's all I ask. We're streaming everywhere you find podcasts, so no excuse to not tune in. You'll only be making yourself feel better, and as well as maybe somebody else. So tune in next week for more positive news, and I hope to hear from you soon. Until next time, be humble, be helpful, pay it forward, be the best you, and remember, it ain't all bad. Thanks for listening.